the Plains, all things Auburn football from someone who really lived it. Welcome back. This is Landing on the Plains, and I am Chandler Wooten, former linebacker, team captain, and NFL vet. And we got another good one for you today lined up. First things first, another big time commitment the other day, and we're going to dive into that. And that will directly lead us into our next topic, which is, you know, in the wake of updating and releasing height and weight differences from spring to now, you know, we'll kind of go in more depth of what that looks like, what that process is like, and how for each guy it's different. Like no two guys are the same. And so the weight doesn't always tell the story. And so we'll kind of go through some of the most notable changes on the roster, and we'll get into that. And we'll wrap it up kind of foreshadowing what's to come. Got some big things lined up, and so we'll kind of finish the show with that. So here we go. So the other day, our Auburn Tigers landed another big-time commitment from four-star edge Marquise Evans. And, you know, this is a guy that I believe is a really, really solid pickup. And especially when you dissect some of the film that he has and you go through some of the measurables, and it's like you're talking about a kid who has a freaking 84-inch wingspan. And so, my goodness. Like you talk about untapped potential. You get with the coach, as good as our defensive line coach is, in a system like, you know, DJ Durkin, and you know, you coach that up. My God, 84 inches. And he's a guy who is raw, a lot of untapped potential, like I said, because he's only going into, you know, year three of playing football. And so the athletic ability is there. The tools are there. And man, like he's a guy you get on campus and he's already got play now ready, you know, kind of size, but you get him in that weight room, you allow him to get bigger and stronger, learn the position, you know, kind of learn the scheme and the system and things like that. And man, he could really be a factor in this class. And so I think he's a really big time pickup and, you know, kind of not a late bloomer, but he's not even anywhere close to his ceiling as a football player. Not even anywhere close to his ceiling. And so, like, I mean, 6'4", already 270. And so with that, he has, you know, some flexibility and maybe some versatility in this system as well, which kind of makes it even more interesting, because you talk about versatility, especially along the defensive line. Like that's what makes defenses special. When you can move guys around and guys have different skill sets and can do different things, and you know, you can manipulate, you know, the way you line up, and you know, it makes it difficult for offenses. It makes it extremely difficult. And so he's a guy that's going to come in, like I said, have to really, you know, learn the technique and the position, really master his craft. But you talk about the guy with all the tools, man, like he's a guy that Auburn fans should definitely be excited about. And let's not confuse that lack of, you know, maybe experience for lack of ability, because like I said, the potential and the upside is through the roof. And so, you know, in this system, in this scheme, like I said, this defensive line coach, you know, him being surrounded by other guys, you know, other dogs as well, like that plays a factor into it as well. Like when you surround yourself with other guys, you know, who help, you know, bring you along and things like that, man. So, you know, big time pickup, you know, right now sitting, you know, still top 10 in recruiting. And so staff continuing to do a fantastic job, you know, even in the dead period. So we're still seeing guys continue to commit, roll in. And so now here in July and top 10. And you know, one thing I think, you know, make this staff unique is like the guys that they're going to get, like, I feel like they have a vision and a plan for these guys. Like they're not just going out and, you know, just trying to throw stuff at the wall and see what sticks. Like they have a plan in place and they're following this plan and they've been executing. And so I think the question is like when they bring these kind of guys in, you know, like a Marquise Evans, you know, how do they see him? Like when you recruit these guys, like I said, you have a plan. And so, like I mentioned earlier, he was listed as an edge, but I probably see him more so as a defensive end, hand down, you know, ability to play in that four eye, you know, kind of in that inside shade, inside eye of that offensive tackle, you know, with his hand down. With that kind of length, like, people won't be able to get up on him, especially when he learns how to play the position at an elite level. Like, technically sound, you're not going to be able to touch him. He's too long. And then you combine that with some out of this world kind of strength that he can develop at a place like Auburn. You place him in a four eye, run game is wrecked. The ability, that kind of length, you place him inside versus those short arm guards, centers, wrecked. And he's also, you know, athletic enough where you can place him on the outside in certain packages, you know? So that kind of power, explosion, length, size, you just kind of wonder, how does the staff see him? And this is the part that, you know, not a lot of people discuss, and why it's imperative to go to a school, to go to a system, you know, with a staff and a plan in place for you, so you can be the best version of yourself. And that looks different for everybody. And that brings me to my next point with the updated height and weights, you know, that they released last week. And there were some really, really interesting numbers on there that really made me kind of go like, I love that. Or, maybe that one's a little surprising. But I understand why from a player's perspective. Let me elaborate. You take a guy like Bryce Diaz, who's up 15 from the spring. Now, I love that, because he's one of those guys who had to get bigger, and it's obvious that he's in the lab right now going to work. And you kind of look back, you know, this is from spring to now, and you kind of wonder, like, how did a guy, you know, healthily gain 15 pounds in, you know, 2 months? It's possible. You look at a guy like DeMarcus Redick, who we can all agree had to get bigger, you know, put on some muscle, gain a little bit of weight from last season. And from the spring, he's down 3. And, you know, from the outside looking at it, you might go like, wait. But there's always a story behind that. And not everybody has to continue to pack on weight. And so that process is different. We're going to kind of get into that process. So first and foremost, after the spring, you go through those exit meetings. You sit down with your coaches. You sit down with the nutritionists. You sit down with the training staff. And everybody formulates a plan. Like, how can we help this player individually be as successful as possible? And so, you know, after spring, after the, you know, all of these practices, after winter workouts and, you know, transforming bodies and things like that, you know, how do we see you heading into the fall based off what we saw in the spring? You know, you have to get stronger. You know, we didn't really like how you maybe defeated blocks, or we didn't really feel like you were moving as good as you could have. You know, maybe you were a little heavy, and we think you can be a little quicker, be a little more agile, or you got to get in shape. So everybody's different. So you meet with these people, you meet with your coaches and everybody, and you formulate a plan. And they say, this is where we at. And you then attack that plan. And that's why you see all these numbers. You know, a lot of guys have put on a lot of weight. A lot of guys have lost weight. You attack that plan. And if it's weight loss, if you're a guy who has to lose a lot of weight, you have to do that extra cardio. Like, they literally have in the summertime, like, slots and time periods for guys who come in and do this extra work. Like, it can be grueling, because these are numbers that you have to meet. These are things that have to get accomplished, especially before we head into camp. You don't want to head into camp behind the eight ball. Like, that's not the time for you to be getting in shape. That's not the time for you to be trying to pack on muscle. This is not the time for you to be, like, this is the time for you to sustain. This is the time for you, yes, to still lift hard and to train hard and all those things. But that's what the summertime is. That's what winter, spring, and summer is for. Because at that point, it's go time. It's go time. And so if you're a guy who has to lose weight, you're doing that extra cardio. You met with the nutritionist. You're on a meal plan. You are on a meal plan. And you're tracking these calorie deficits, and you're doing everything you can. And if you're a guy who has to gain weight, you're making sure you're eating right. You're making sure you eat before you go to bed. You're making sure you're taking all your shakes. They do a great job of providing extra resources. And so for whatever you need, they got it. And one thing, you know, that I have to mention is it's not always a dictatorship. Like, this is a collaboration sometimes. Like, yes, some things are coach's final say. Like, you know, you have to put on muscle. You have to lose weight or whatever the case may be. But great teams, great coaches, like, they have collaboration. You know, how do you feel? How do you feel that you performed in the springtime? How do you feel that you can get better? What do you think you need to work on? Things like that. It's a collaboration. It's a open conversation. And that's how you build trust. And so it's not always just black and white. This guy has to put on X amount of weight, because at the end of the day, it's a right way and a wrong way to do it. And so, like I was mentioning earlier, there are so many resources. Like, they will bring in sleep specialists for you. If you're a person who, you know, is up late, you need more sleep. Like, all of this stuff factors into weight loss and weight gain. They track your BMI, your body mass index, and they show you how much fat you have, how much muscle you have, how much muscle you gain, you know, in comparison to how much fat you lost. And so all of these things, you can track this stuff. They're active. And so I think that's why you see so many of these numbers changing. And guys are going to work, doing the work. Like, these numbers don't change just overnight. These guys are doing the work. You have some guys who can really hit the weight room and get a lot stronger, but it's harder for them to hold that weight. I played with plenty of people who were strong. You would never believe how strong they were in that weight room. I'll give you an example. Zacoby McClain. I don't think he ever played a down at Auburn over 215. And I'm being generous with the 215. But if you were to walk into that weight room, pound for pound, one of the strongest players on the team. I kid you not. And so it's not always about how big you are. Some guys just can't hold that kind of weight. Some people's frame doesn't allow them to hold that kind of weight. And so you get as strong as possible and you maximize whatever it is that you do have and whatever it is that your body can hold, you know, healthily. Because at the end of the day, you still want to be fast and explosive. Like, that's the name of the game. You also have some guys who can gain a lot of weight, but it's not necessarily always muscle. Like, there's no point in putting on 10, 15, 20 pounds just for you to say you put on that kind of weight if it's not translating into muscle. Because now we're just getting sluggish and slow. And so you do have some guys who have to make sure they're aware and conscious of what's going in their body, more so than other guys. Some people's body weight fluctuates a lot. I was one of those guys. Like, I could go out and practice, and any of my teammates would tell you I'm a sweater. I think I have a sweating condition. But I would go out, like, a fall camp practice, I would weigh in before practice around 231, 232 or something like that, and I promise you I'm leaving at 220. I lose 10 plus pounds. And so I was a guy who always had to make sure I'm replenishing what I lost, whether it's hydration, making sure I'm loading up on calories, just to maintain. Because I know once we hit, you know, a certain point in the season, like, I'm going to lose weight. And so that also plays a factor into it as well. You know, some people have to pack on that weight, because once they get to that season, you're going to lose some weight. You're going to lose some weight. And so, you know, I was a person coming out of high school. I was ideal size, but I wasn't ideal strength, you know, ideal body composition. You know, I came in probably weak as pond water. Well, I wasn't weak, but, you know, relative to, you know, playing in the SEC, I was weak. You know, and I was coming out of high school benching 3 whatever and squatting 5 plus and power cleaning, hang cleaning 315 and stuff like that, which is not crazy, but it's like I wasn't super weak. But I was the kind of guy who, yes, I was 6'2", 227, and that sounds good on paper, but I had to get stronger, dude. I had to get stronger. And so it's not always about the weight. Sometimes it's about getting stronger. Sometimes it's about losing that weight so you can get faster, more agile. Like, we need you to move better. And so, like I mentioned in the beginning, everybody's different. And so, you know, I walked away from, you know, seeing these heightened weights and, you know, one position group in particular, you know, I already liked, and now I think I love, but it's the running back room. And it's because obviously Jeremiah Cobb is RB1, but behind him, I did not realize like every other back was, you know, that kind of size. Bryce Washington is a guy who, you know, was a little out of shape in the spring, but I didn't know he was, you know, 210 plus. I didn't know Omar Mabson was 215. I didn't know Nakai Davenport was 215 plus. So, like, we've got a running back room with some depth and some bell cows to give Jeremiah Cobb that needed rest. And so after seeing some of those weights, man, in that running back room and the size, I think I walked away loving that room. And I think I also walked away, I mentioned it in the previous episode or the one before that, but I'm now expecting a fantastic year. Not just hoping for or, you know, saying this is what we need or no. I'm expecting now Elijah Melendez to have a breakout season. I am. Because he's one of those people on this list, you know, of the height weights, updates and things of that nature, where I had to look like, oh, what? Plus 12 to put him at 240. And so, you know, knowing that this he's now 240 in this kind of system, you know, with the amount of space and opportunity he's going to have playing next to Xavier Atkins, I think this is time for him to have his breakout season. It is. And I'm now expecting that because he's super, like he was already strong. He was already, you know, kind of a freak athlete. And so now that he's 240, I know he didn't lose explosion. So yeah, in this system, a linebacker friendly defense with a coach, a defensive coordinator who is already hands-on with the linebackers, it's nine's time. And so I'm looking forward to that for sure. And, you know, lastly, one other guy that I, you know, really kind of jumped off the page to me and relative to, you know, how I see them performing this year was Anquan Fagans. He's a guy who's now up to 200 plus 9 or 10, I believe it was. And, you know, that was kind of really the only thing I wanted to see from him, really, was him to get a little bigger. And, you know, the fact that he's now plus 10 since the spring, you know, heading into camp, like, I think this is a year where he will, you know, stamp his name. He's a guy who's confident. He plays with some swag, and you know, he was flying around out there in the spring game and he was all over the place. And I thought he, you know, kind of missed a couple tackles, but it wasn't for lack of aggression. So with that added extra weight, I think it'll bring a little extra pop to him. And, you know, he's already fast, explosive, a great athlete. And so I think he'll really, you know, make a statement this year. You know, as we wind this thing down, you know, I just want to take this moment to first say I appreciate all the love and support thus far. You know, I am extremely grateful, and it's only up from here. And, you know, just as we continue to move forward, just be on the lookout. I got some pretty big guests coming up now that's the summertime, and, you know, all of my NFL guys are, you know, less busy. Some really big, exciting things on the horizon. And so I'm excited and looking forward to that. You know, that's all we got for today, folks. I appreciate you tuning in. If you like this episode, make sure you like, share, and subscribe, and we'll catch you on the next one. And as always, War Eagle.